Of the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your co-host Corey Cannon alongside Dalton Miller as always. Today we're going to dive into a little Daft or Draft. Before we do, Dalton and I hammered out some, you know, housekeeping, some content stuff that we might go ahead and just bring up here. We've decided we're going to do our summer scouting by school. So that's how we're going to dive into here. Starting next week, that we're going to give ourselves a week to get into some tape here and some things like that. But we're going to go by school and we're going to go based off of postseason rankings. So however the table fell at the end of the season. So starting with Ohio State next week, we're going to do offense one day, defense one day, and we'll move on. So we're going to do one school a week, and that's how we're going to attack this thing. So I think it's a good plan of attack as well, starting with Ohio State next week. So speaking of, I've watched one of those players and I'm dropping a film room on Max Clair tomorrow, tight end transfer from Purdue. But Dalton, welcome back in. Are you excited for another edition of Daft or Draft?
I'm always excited for Daft or Draft. And also for some schools, there won't be two episodes because there just won't be enough guys to talk about. We will see if there's enough guys to talk about for Ohio State, which is interesting to think of. But there might not be a ton of talk on the offensive side of the ball. That might just end up being a 10-minute podcast episode, and you guys are just going to have to deal with a little 10-minuter. But we will see how things go when we watch them. Let's get into Daft or Draft, Corey. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So, Dalton, I also decided it's the off season, so we're going to have one stupid Daft or Draft.
It's not stupid. These will be the best after draft we do.
One because they're not about football,
so we can go and like really, really fight. Because here's the thing, Corey, for as fun as like we like to have, our like football opinions are too often too close to one another.
Yeah,
and I do think that we have some pretty good discourse in here. We have some pretty good discourse. The issue is the way that we see the game is very similar. So we don't get to fight very often. So my hope for this is that
the gloves come off.
Stupid little topics. The gloves come off a little bit. Okay. We're both in pretty good shape here. We can throw some haymakers at one another and have fun and be friends at the end of the day for it. So we will get into it today. But let's get into our first Daft or Draft. Let's get it.
Yeah, so we're going to start off with some trending NFL news here. Today, Pro Bowl center, All-Pro center, Frank Ragnow has retired from the Detroit Lions. And in OTAs, it has been Tate Ratledge, second-round pick, who has been taking those first-team center reps. So, you know, he is not the only offensive lineman who is replacing a retired player here either. With Kelvin Banks being drafted to the Saints. And I know they might kick Fuaga back to the right side, and technically Fuaga would be whatever. So we're going to leverage those two players against each other and say, Dalton, and we're going to leverage the second round pick above the first round pick here and say, Dalton, after draft, Tate Ratledge is in a position to have a bigger impact replacing a retired Pro Bowler than the first rounder Kelvin Banks.
Here's the thing. I really want to parse out the impact part of things, because at the end of the day, the Saints aren't going to be very good, and the Detroit Lions are going to be fighting for a championship. So when we talk about impact, are we talking about just how good or bad the player is going to be? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to talk about the importance of the player? Because no matter what, I think Tate Ratledge is the more important player, because the Saints.
Let's rephrase it to year one success.
Year one success for the player.
Individual success, yes.
Individual success. I'm going to go with Tate. I'm going to go with Ratledge here. And I'm going to go with Ratledge here because he's insulated. He is insulated by the rest of that Detroit offensive line. Christian Mahogany. Graham Glasnow, are they fantastic? They're decent players. Taylor Decker, Penei Sewell, And then you have that offensive run game. I mean, I it'll be interesting now because there's a new offensive mind at the helm. But I think that you have you have a rookie quarterback, mm-hmm. and then you have a second year quarterback who was a fifth round pick in New Orleans. I just don't believe that Kelvin Banks will be set up for success there at left tackle. No matter how well he really plays, he's going to have a lot on his plate. And so for me, I just think the insulation around Tate Ratledge is where this really comes down to.
That's where I'm going with this as well. And not only that, more specifically the quarterback play that they're going to be protecting as well with, in my opinion, Tyler Shuck doesn't handle pressure very well, which causes him to bail and to drift often. And when he does that, he's giving pass rushers very easy angles to him and compromising any sort of advantage, leverage advantage that offensive tackles have. And so if Shuck is going to feel that pressure and bail a lot, then like Banks is going to be put in a pretty suspect position that isn't necessarily his fault. But the Bangladeshian graders for a certain analytical website don't know the difference, and they'll knock him for it anyway. So like where we look at Jared Goff, who is a professional at getting the ball out on time, understanding how to hit the top of his drops, even climb in a little bit and just get the ball out. Like, he's not going to hold the ball forever. He's not going to bail. He's not an athlete, for one. Like, he's not that kind of athlete. Not that kind of quarterback. So he's going to be easier to protect. He's going to be easier. Like, just naturally, he's going to be easier to protect as well. So I'm in complete agreement here. I'm going to go with Tate, too, on this. And I think that Tate is going to be set up for better success replacing a retired offensive lineman.
Yeah, and this isn't to say that I don't think that Kelvin Banks could be successful as a left tackle in the NFL. And it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out with him, Trevor Penning, and Talisi Fuaga all on that roster. What do they do with Trevor Penning? Because we saw him last year come in and play a lot better. You have three first-round picks on that offensive line at tackle and guard. And then you also have Cesar Ruiz, who is a former first-round pick, and Eric McCoy, who is a former second-round pick. So, like, the Saints have really, really thrown assets over the past half decade on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. But, man, that quarterback situation is just not conducive to success for that offensive line whatsoever.
And even Rattler, even if Rattler wins the job, who has developed into a kind of a pocket passer compared to what he was at Oklahoma, like, still has those tendencies where he wants to fall off that back foot big time. So, I just think that we're in a position where we're talking about which quarterback is way easier to protect for, and it's Goff by a million miles. So, yeah. Well, bring up
I got the second one here. Okay. I got the second one here. The age-old question. People have argued about this forever. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take this from two separate angles, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask the question first, and then I will break it up into two separate parts. But Tim the Tat Man, who is a streamer, a video game streamer, has a song about this. Actually, it was remixed into a song. And that is, Corey, after draft, waffles are better than pancakes. Now, before you answer, we're going to break this up into two parts.
Okay.
At their peak and at their average or their median, which is better, Corey? Go.
At their peak. See, it's
first of all, you have to daft or draft. Waffles are better than pancakes. We have to daft it or draft it. So, like, we have to say that. Like, that's part of all this. You have to say daft or draft.
Draft. I'm going to draft it. Like, I just think, I mean, it's the same batter, right? It's just what medium do you prefer? Most of the time, it's the same batter. waffle than pancake toast?
No, a Belgian waffle is a
different... Belgian waffle. That's fair. But like, for
what
one,
I kind of waffles are you making?
I don't know. It's just you make waffle batter and you make the batter and you put it in the waffle maker. Just the standard waffle. But I think it holds the syrup better. I think it holds the butter better. And like, if I'm getting really into the fine details of it, it's like people go to Waffle House at 2 a.m. People don't go to IHOP at 2 a.m. You know, I guess people probably do go to IHOP at 2 a.m, but like, it's Waffle House who has the reputation of like, this is where you go when you're craving late night food, when you're most of the time drunk.
No, people aren't going there like,
or to witness a fight between employees.
Exactly. Waffle House is an experience.
It is.
You're not going there for the food. You're not going there for the waffles.
No. I take offense to that. The waffles are very good too. The chocolate chip waffles, they slather that chocolate on there.
So you are drafting that waffles are better than pancakes.
Yes. Yes, I am.
And are you going to take that at their best and at their median, or do you have a different opinion?
What really holds me up here is like some really well done banana, like chocolate chip banana pancakes. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It might not get better than that at its peak. Like a nice plate of banana pancakes.
Yeah, I'm just going to cut you off right here. I'm going to draft this as well. Waffles are better than pancakes. And I am taking that from the median opinion. The best I've ever had are pancakes. I mean, it's so funny because I'm here like in a bodybuilding prep and trying to get huge and I have a ton of protein all the time. The vegan pancakes that I had at this place in Dallas that is no longer open were the best pancakes I have ever had, and it's not even close. It was like a chocolate pecan pancake, and the batter was so good. But that is where I agree with you. I think the average waffle is better. It is the better vessel. Mm-hmm. For your toppings, for sure. My issue with both of them, okay, is that if the waffle gets a little bit overdone, because it is a different batter, there's more sugar, more fat, more egg, okay? The issue with the waffle is it can get kind of crispy and grainy, and then it falls apart. The issue with the batter for a pancake is it becomes super duper dry. And the dryness of that on average is worse than like the crispiness that you get from like a waffle that's falling apart. You ever just like put your fork down in it and it just collapses?
Yeah.
And so that's upsetting. But you can deal with that with the syrup that's going to scoop it up. And then you can kind of scoop it up. And it's not dry once you saturate that because of the fat content that's in there. It gets a little bit creamier again because the egg gets a little bit creamier. You can't really do that with the pancake. You're like fighting to get that dry pancake down. And so for me, yes, the average waffle is better. I used to go to Denny's and get the Grand Slam all of the time when I was in the Army, and I would get waffles with it instead of pancakes. So I'm definitely there with the waffle gang.
If you want to get super into the weeds with it as well, like just think if like you're in a pinch and you want to like throw one of the two from a freezer into something and eat it, like microwave pancakes can get like they're different temperatures, they're different textures. Like the middle's hard,
it's really funny you say that.
Hard.
It's really funny you
throw a waffle
in
a toaster because it's cooked the same consistently and it's fine. You just grab it and scoop it and you throw it in your mouth.
In the United States, I absolutely agree with you. Here we have some frozen pancakes that are bomb. We give them to our son. They are fantastic. Now, I throw mine in the air fryer for a minute.
Ooh, okay.
And that's incredible.
That's a move.
And guys, if you don't have an air fryer, you're effing up. An air fryer is an absolute game changer. not just from a taste perspective, from a textures perspective, but also from a nutritional perspective, you can be so much healthier throwing stuff into an air fryer than you can with conventional oven cooking. Waffles are, in fact, better than pancakes. And if you disagree with us,
you're wrong.
Don't care.
All
right. Let us know on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know for sure. Last but not least here, let's talk a little Hard Knocks here. The Buffalo Bills will be on Hard Knocks this year. So thinking about the rookie class, thinking about the Bills rookie class, obviously Keon Coleman's going to steal the show, but he is not a rookie this year. Of the Bills rookie class, Dalton, draft or draft, Landon Jackson will have the biggest Hard Knocks presence of all the rookies from the Bills class.
Draft. And I really wanted you to say Maxwell Hairston will, because he was the first round pick, but we were talking about this and it was all surrounding Landon Jackson. It's going to be Landon Jackson. And if Landon Jackson doesn't steal the show, it will be the battle between Maxwell Hairston losing his job to Dorian Strong. That's what it'll be, because that's just like the most Bills thing that could happen. The sixth rounder starting over the first rounder. And the reason why I say Landon Jackson is going to be number one is, first of all, he's bald. And I don't know if you guys know this, but so is Sean McDermott. So I can see the Hard Knocks crew having a little bit of fun with the bald guys. But most importantly, there was an NIL deal with Landon Jackson with a little organization called the WWE. Landon Jackson is going to be a professional wrestler after he is done being a professional football player. That dude is going to absolutely take this opportunity with cameras everywhere to market himself for the future. And if he doesn't, I would be shocked. I would be shocked. I would be appalled. I would call his agent personally and ask him what the hell is going on. Because if he wants to, and you sign a deal with the WWE, you have to have some interest in that field, the entertainment field. Mm-hmm. Go out there and do your thing, my man. And if you have the personality for it, it'll show. It'll show on that television show. They will figure it out. They are finding the most entertaining points of this. And when you look at the defensive side of the ball for them, who else is it going to be? Obviously, they're going to do the Damar Hamlin story for sure.
Yeah.
They'll probably talk about Tre'Davious White and all of his injuries. But Landon Jackson has the opportunity to steal the show on the defensive side of the ball for the Buffalo Bills. And I hope that he does it. And I hope that it is everything that I want it to be. And I hope that it is a nice, not change up from Keon Coleman, but that it's a little bit, I just hope that it's as authentic as Keon Coleman is, because you, like you said, Keon Coleman's going to steal the show. Josh Allen is a goofball.
Who just got married.
Yeah. And the funny thing about Josh Allen too, is that he's 6'5", 250, and he legitimately looks like he's 16 years old. Like in the face, he looks like a teenager. And so for me, that makes him even goofier than he already is. And the other thing is that the Bills social media team is incredible.
Very good.
Outside of the Chargers, and the Chargers are different because the Chargers like actual like production team is good.
Yeah.
The Bills, the social media team, getting in and getting in the face of the players and having fun with them, no other team does it that good. And so I'm really interested to see if Hard Knocks is able to kind of incorporate and shine a light on just how good, and this is completely off topic, but how good that social media team is at what they do as well. I think that it would be a lot of fun to show that side of things.
Yeah, I agree. They play off one another,
mm-hmm.
back and forth. A little pickleball action. I'm going to draft it as well about Landon Jackson. of the rookie class. I mean, I think Maxwell's going to get some play, obviously. But I'm going to look at this from a football perspective. Joey Bosa's already hurt. Joey Bosa's always hurt. Michael Hoke, who they just signed in free agency, is suspended to start the season. We're talking about Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa as the only established guys on the depth chart who will be playing week one. I mean, Bosa could be back by week one ahead of Landon Jackson. So, like, I even think there's a very real storyline that, like, hey, this third round pick might play 40 snaps his first week of the season. And how do we get him ready to do that? I think is a storyline to follow as well. So I think I would agree. The only thing that makes me a little skittish about that is that they always follow those guys like on the fringe of the roster. You know what I'm saying? Like the fringe roster players. And so that makes me think, like, because we're looking at defensive tackle and like Ed Oliver, TJ Sanders, DaQuan Jones, Dwayne Carter are all locks. Is Deion Walker a lock as a fourth round pick to make the Bills? Or is that going to be a player where they're going to follow his, like, he came in as a surefire first rounder, fell to day three, and now he's got to fight to be that fifth defensive tackle in the room with, like, Zion Logue?
Maybe.
You know, like, that would be my only other consideration here. But
they could also just, I'm just looking at this from another, is Chase Lunt or Jackson Hawes being also kind of like on the fringe as well. You're right. Specifically with a guy like Hawes, who is just like a kind of like the tight end version of WWE, somebody who's going to beat the crap out of you. And so I don't know what that personality is like, but then you also have Chase Lunn, who was a UConn guy, small school guy, sixth round pick, and is on the fringe for offensive tackle reps for them. So, yeah, they do kind of follow the fringe guys, and that does give me some pause with Jackson. I just think that the personality is going to be so big, and I think that if you take the opportunity to really put yourself out there, we've seen bigger names. It just all depends on, I think some guys just like don't want it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that because of the WWE NIL deal, I think that he'll kind of put himself out there for it.
Yeah, I can get on board with that for sure. Yeah, I'm cool with that. All right, Dalton. Well, that's another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Do you have anything you want to say to the people?
Yeah, obviously, I want to say that I love you guys. I will have some news when it is right for me to talk about it. But I, big things coming for me. And make sure that you guys are going to the Patreon, signing up for whatever interests you. Reach out to me about the Discord. I am trying to really grow that thing right now. I want people to join the community. I want people to join Corey's community on Discord as well, so we can talk about the draft, mine, talk about the Cowboys, talk about the draft, talk about fitness, talk about food, talk about mentals, all of it. I love you guys, and I hope Corey does too. I'll let him take you out.
Occasionally. Yes. But that is it. That's another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Thanks for hanging with us. We're getting deep into this offseason. We're getting back to tape. So good things happening all around. Until next time, this has been the Daft on Draft podcast.